Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Shields Down Podcast, an unofficial Halo esports show dedicated to North American players, teams, and tournaments. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan.
And I'm the other host, Alan.
And today's episode, we're going to be discussing the events that have transpired between January 2nd all the way up to the 13th, covering the North American Open Series and Pro Series, and some stuff that's happening in between. What would you call it, Alan? What'd you say earlier?
Good old drama.
Oh, God, fucking drama in esports, dude. It's hand in hand.
But oh, yeah.
But it's good to be back. It's good to be recording about Halo esports before I forget everything, because so much shit is going on in the scene right now. But yeah, before we get into it, Alan, what's up, man?
Not much. Caught me off guard there. What about you?
It's a fine. You know, besides it being a fine Sunday morning of recording back-to-back Halo episodes, not much going on. Okay, so I know it's not Halo, but I just got done playing Rainbow Six Siege Extraction.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It's pretty good. It's on the Xbox Pass. Honestly, I'm glad I didn't have to pay for it. It's a game I would definitely not buy. It's fun with friends, but I don't see how you play it for long. I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. Like, it's okay. But yeah, that's okay. That's really it. So
that's great.
Now back to the Halo part of the show.
Yeah.
Before I ramble for 20 minutes on something that's not Halo, some noble news that was going on between the time frame of the 2nd through the 13th of January, made. I wouldn't say headlines, but it was all over everyone's, you know, Twitter feed, calling for justice. But apparently, there was a Cloud9 jersey signed by the team during the Raleigh event, right? So the major, and it was stolen, and it showed up for auction, either eBay. Yeah, I think it was eBay. eBay does auction. So
yeah, it was on eBay.
On eBay with a staff card or like a.
A player badge.
So, like, you can only assume who stole this, who had access to this jersey. And
it was really weird is that the jersey was left backstage and someone took it from backstage.
Right. So it's like, okay, you got inside threat right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I would not be looking externally. I wouldn't trust anyone anymore. But of course it had a happy ending. There's this content creator Always Tilted. He was the sole bidder for this jersey that sold for only $100. Which is ridiculous for a team that smashed at the major, right? So it seems like this person didn't know the value of this jersey, which how do you even tell, right? But yeah, Always Tilted came out, bid it and won, and then sent it back to Cloud9 so they could go to whoever the intended fan was. And now apparently Always Tilted is going to get hooked up from Cloud9 for being a good person. So very exciting stuff. Something you don't really expect now these days, you know?
Yeah. When I read the article, I was like, what? Like, really?
Yeah. It's Penguin, dude. That Penguin signature is worth, it's worth $100 alone.
You know what's really funny is a person who put it on eBay, their account was Gregory Dan 1964. Now, if it's like how old people normally.
Yeah, that's put user an old motherfucker.
you could tell who it is if that's what like they actually did.
And maybe that's why it was only for $100 because they're so out of touch with like what this stuff means to kids, right? Or just fans in general of esports. So that's kind of fucking hilarious that. Unless like they're playing chess and not checkers and they're like five steps ahead. So they're like, let's make it seem like an old person did this and they just go with this name and a random birth year. You know, that's that would be the ultimate move. But
they still sell for $100. Like, come on.
Maybe they just wanted a quick $100 for the skins and the Halo Infinite store that sucks.
Who knows?
But yeah, so that was the jersey incident. I'm calling it the C9 jersey incident of the Raleigh Majors of 2022. big stuff. No one will ever forget it. But anyway, so this time period that we're discussing today is pretty much everything that has happened in the wake of the Raleigh Major and leading up to, into the Pro Series that we'll be discussing later in the episode. But after the Raleigh Major, there were some big roster changes. And Alan, if you could enlighten us with what was going on after the...
Yeah, sure. So to start off with, Space Station Gaming, if you remember, Formal left them to go on to Sentinels.
Right.
And then they picked up Tusk. Well, Tusk decided after Raleigh, he was going to move on. So he was only on the team for like 21 days. I guess he was more like a filler, if you will. So they ended up picking up Flazin, F-L-A-Z-I-N.
Yeah.
I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. A little info on him. There's not much info at all.
Thanks. Episode over.
Yeah. He's never played for any major orgs, but he is known as a good player, and he's also been a trainer for Halo.
Okay. Isn't
so
that's some good like reputation. Yeah, he's known as a good player. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like he's good enough, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, but
he would train people in Halo.
I just want to say before you go any further, this information currently is being pulled from 4Runner GG. We want to give him a shout out. The links to these articles and their websites will be in the description of the episode and in the show notes for anyone to go and see for themselves this information that's available. But yeah, shout out to 4Runner GG for this information.
Yep. And then the next team was G2 Esports. They made some moves. So G2 Arctic left G2. He was only on the team for about 2 months, which makes sense because G2 picked up that team like 2 months ago.
Right.
G2 picked up Tusk from Space Station. So that was interesting because Tusk left Space Station. They had placed 7th and 8th at Raleigh and went to a team that placed 9 through 12. So I don't know if it's a step down or what, but I don't know.
Right. And then Arctic moves on from there, right? Like, where does he go?
Yes. So he went to Exet, actually. So Exet decided to drop Filthy G and Porky J, which I'm so disappointed because they have the coolest names ever on that team. I wish they kept up. But yeah, so they picked up Arctic. So the team is an Arctic and Tony Sun, T-O-N-I-S-O-U-N. So Arctic, of course, was from G2. Tony Sun was previously on Unsigned Talent, which is a ex-Gears of War players that came together to form a team and started playing Halo. Exet had placed 17 through 24 in Raleigh, so that's why they were making some changes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then moving on, it's Gamers First, right?
Yep. Gamers First was the other team who decided to make moves. So they placed 17 through 24 as well. They dropped Gunshot and picked up a player called Ali. He was actually formerly known as Commonly, and he's been in the Halo scene for quite some time, since 2016 or 2014. And he's placed very well on some events. And they also dropped Sargoth later on throughout the weeks that we're covering and picked up Carmia, K-A-R-M-E-A. Dude, these names are so hard.
It's like a play on karma or some shit? Like,
yeah, I think it might be a play on karma. I don't know.
It's just like a random like gamer tag generator and they're just like, this is it.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, and like every series, they like they'll change their name spelling slightly. Like Gunshot, sometimes he'll be G-U-N. Other times he'll be G-U, capital I, capital V, so it looks like an N. I'm like, God dang it, man. Like, consistency, where's your brand?
New players will not be able to track anything. Yeah. Or new spectators, I mean.
Yeah, it's hard, but we're helping out here, right? So...
Yeah, that's our mission.
We'll struggle through it.
We still don't know.
Yeah. These players need to learn some brand management.
Dude, can you imagine if you bought a jersey and you put like their, you know, you can put like a custom name on the back and, and you put like Gunshot and he keeps changing the way he spells his name and you're like, you motherfucker. Like,
yeah,
this just fell in value as quickly as my cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah.
But we're on a bounce, okay? So just hold strong.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last team dubbed in the roster.
So there are actually a couple other teams.
What? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I dug through the depths of the rosters and I found a couple other teams also.
Dude, these notes are fake. This is fake news, man. All right, continue, Alan.
Yeah, yeah. So Fnatic, throughout they're a partnered organization with HCS, right, in Halo. So throughout the months of November and December, they're looking to find a team to pick up. Like we talked about in the last episode where a lot of the orgs ended up picking up teams like 3-4 days before the major. Fnatic didn't pick up a team for the major, which was interesting. And they put out a mini documentary. Essentially, they wanted to wait after Raleigh to scout players. Their whole goal, they sent their team director he's team director / new project lead. They sent him to Raleigh, and his goal was almost like a scout. He was a scout, essentially. Almost like in baseball, you know, looking for teams in the minor leagues or like high school to pick up. So he went out. Their goal was to gather players from open bracket teams that were interested in to them and then combine them to make one team. Now, did that actually happen? No, not at all. Not at all. I don't know. So there's the team called Team War, or they also go by Business. They got picked up by Fnatic on 13 January. So right before we'll talk about it later, but they actually made it to the Pro Series on the 13th of January. And that morning, Fnatic announced that they had picked them up as a full team to play under the Fnatic banner. So did they find a bunch of open bracket players from Raleigh to grab them and put them into one team? No, they just picked up a team. So I don't know if it goes against what they were looking for, but yeah. Whatever.
I mean, it's similar to other teams, right? They're just like, why scout when you can just buy a team as a bulk order? So
yeah, exactly. So I don't...
It's very interesting. I have not seen that before come in from other esports, so very interesting.
I would have loved to see Fnatic actually do that, where they like, okay, this team went through the open bracket and this specific player is really good. And then on this team over here, they went through the open bracket and he's firing off right now. And then just like, you know, grab a bunch of them and put them together. But then you got to worry about chemistry and everything, so...
Yeah, the things that...
It's probably a safer bet.
Yeah, the coaches will have to deal with that shit. But as like an investor, like a backer of Fnatic, it looks good on the surface, right? Like the whole a la carte picking of players.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's probably safer just to grab a team that's already set and then just develop them or find out if they can be developed further.
Yeah, I mean, that team has... Those four players have been playing since the first open series in November. So they haven't made any changes to their team. Like, their chemistry is there.
Yeah,
so
good for them.
That's good. Yeah.
With all this, like, you know, being dubbed the Roster Mania event after the majors, it's like, what do these contracts look like, you know? Like, it appears there's no...
I know.
It's, like, so, like, fast and loose. Like, there's no time... commitment to the like joining these teams. Like, where, how do, are you getting paid weekly? Like, what's happening here?
It seems like it's very interesting. It seems like, you know, of course the major orgs are going to have contracts, right?
Yeah.
And you know, those are probably done with lawyers and everything to make sure it's up and up. The semi-pro orgs, if you will, or like there's the aspiring orgs, I don't know if they even have contracts. I would hope so.
They're like paying. But it almost looks like they're paying the players for a specific tournament, right? Like, we're going to pay you to play for the Pro Series and then fucking you can leave or we'll cut you. Or like, it's so weird how this works.
Like a perfect example, Team Infamous, when we talked about them last episode, they picked up a team that had two COD players. And then literally the 20th of December, all the players left Team Infamous. So, like, how does that work?
Just a bunch of memories now.
I don't know.
We'll need to ask someone eventually, but for now, we're nobody, so we gotta continue on in the dark.
Yeah. Okay, so the other two teams, Status Quo. After Raleigh, Blaze left, and they ended up picking up Enable. And if you don't know, Enable is a veteran Halo player. He played competitively. He was actually on Status Quo in Halo 3, I believe it is. Very well-renowned Halo player. And when Halo became shit, he, just like Formal, went off to Call of Duty and became a really damn good COD player. And then he retired. And then now he's coming out of retirement and playing for Status Quo for Halo again.
Some lore.
So it's interesting. I'm pretty sure he's missing like half a thumb or something. I think he's that player. Which would be embarrassing if you lose to a guy who doesn't have half a thumb.
How's that embarrassing?
there's you got a full thumb and you can't beat him.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many adaptabilities now. So
yeah, I mean, he plays damn well.
You wouldn't even notice.
Good on him.
Wouldn't even notice if you watch was it Flame? You wouldn't watch
Flame Sword.
Yeah, Flame Sword streaming, and you'd see his team just stomp people. So
yeah. And then the other team that I wanted to bring up is Unsigned Talent. They seem to have a lot of, they seem to be a team that may come up at some point. Well, like they place well throughout the series and stuff like
I'll
that.
I'll tell you this, they have momentum. We're like, you know, we're double recording cause we're like a week or two behind, but like right now in present time, they have momentum going for them. They're rising. So it's very interesting. I love the name. We talked about them last episode. It's really interesting what's going to happen to this team.
Yeah. So they, between the 2nd through the 13th of January, only Abitur and Avenue were the stable players on the team. They kept switching out players. Finally, they ended up with Hotshot Ghosts and Brainstorm as their other two. But yeah, so that is the major roster changes. Now, as far as like the semi-pro players, I want to call them, those who aren't pros, I don't know what other players who play in tournaments but keep consistently showing up in top 32 of these open series.
Free agents, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to call them semi-pros.
That's a sport term.
They change teams so rapidly. It's not even worth mentioning the roster changes right now.
Let's not.
Yeah.
All right. So that was the WrestleMania event dubbed by 4Runner GG. Again, the links will be in the show notes for you to gloss over all the stuff that's now ancient, because once a week is over, shit happens again. But so now we're moving into the opener, the North American opener. And that is the Open Series 3, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So some quick notes before explaining the format, which we did in the last episode. There was an actual format change, bringing the team cap down to 256 teams from, what was it, like 512? Just because of the time it took, I believe, to run through the series itself. But in short, what am I saying? The opener, it's a 2-week event, right? So first week is the open series, which teams, who did not qualify, for the pro series, they get the chance to compete against those who previously qualified. It's like an overlapping series of events, right? So it's a double elimination best of three, but then the finals is a best of five. And it happens on Sundays. And the Pro Series following the Open Series will happen. It's that following Thursday. And the Pro Series consists of the top 8 teams who qualified from the last Pro Series and the top 8 teams from the Open Series. So you already have these like top 8, you know, seeds that are in place from winning the last Pro Series. And then the opener is just to decide their competition moving forward. So that Sunday, the top 8 will, you know, again, move on to contend with the top 8 from the Pro Series on that Thursday. Very, very confusing at first glance. Like, I got confused just talking about it. But the first Pro Series top 8 teams, they came from the Raleigh Major, because that's just how it kicked off, right? So let's talk about some stats from the Open Series 3. So it started January 2nd, and the prize pool was what? Or no, the prize pool is for the Pro Series, right? So opener...
Yeah, Pro Series gets the $2,000. Yeah. Opener just gets the chance to fight for the $2,000.
Right. And so the top 8 teams were Team War, Oxygen Esports, Falling Esports, Built by Gamers, Complexity Gaming, we have Unsigned Talent, we have Exos Esports, and we have Gamers First. And those 8 contended that Sunday to push forward for the Pro Series. Anything you want to of note that you want to make known here, Alan, about the opener that happened the 2nd of January?
Yeah. So the teams that didn't make it, that I thought was notable was Status Quo. So they placed 9th through 12th, so they were right on the cusp to get the top 8 to move on to the Pro Series.
Yeah.
They lost to Gamers First, so they placed 9th through 12th, so they didn't make it. And then Xset, they placed 25 through 32. They went 0-2 when it comes to their bracket, right? So they lost to Exo Esports, which is cool. They placed top 8 to move on. And then they lost to Nasty with Rifles, which is a, I don't know, semi-pro, amateur,
cool name,
FFA, like whatever team you want to call them.
Cool name team.
Yeah. So Xset got stomped there, which was interesting. Yeah. And so these top 8 teams that come out of the Open Series and get to move on to face top 8 team in the Pro Series.
Right. And that's where the $2,000 comes into play. You get your,
yes.
I just want to say HCS. I think everyone knows what HCS is, the Halo Championship Series. Points.
Yes.
And then also notable, these points will be used towards the Anaheim Minor.
Yes.
So yep.
So it's pretty important to make it to the Pro Series, because no matter what, even if you get last place, the 13th through 16th slots, you still get 1,000 HCS points. So fighting through 256 teams in the Open Series to make it just to even, you know, bottom of the Pro Series, you're getting 1,000 points, which is very important for the Anaheim Minor seeding.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you, like, some progress is being made, but, like, you can't, like, these teams just have to keep competing, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a constant slog, which also sucks for teams, you know, like Status Quo. They placed 9th through 12th in the Open Series. So that means that they didn't get any HCS points that week at all. They went through all those games and didn't get any points because they didn't make it.
Yeah. And I feel like that's been their common theme in the last couple of weeks. So I've been watching Flamesword stream and like they smash until they get to like the cusp, right? The cusp of qualifying or just being in, like you said, the minimum range for points. Yeah. It's fuck. It's so close, but so far.
Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, Status Quo, they place pretty well at Raleigh, you know, but then you have teams like Fallen Esports. They placed 25 through 32 at Raleigh. Complexi, they placed 41 through 48 at Raleigh. They didn't make it past the open bracket, and then they came up and won the open series. Same with XO Esports, 41 through 48.
Yeah, don't even know who they are.
They didn't make the open bracket, but they went through this open series, and they've got top 8 in the open series. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like the Wild West, dude. Like, with so many teams being able to constantly show up, it's truly the Wild West. Like, I feel like in other, you know, scenes like League of Legends and stuff, it's pretty easy. I mean, one, the team, the pool of teams is like 10, you know? So,
yeah,
it's very easy to track and see who's up and coming, but there's some sleepers out there. And if you know, there's like this, there's a common theme of like, to find talent, you need to be looking at the bottom up, you know, right, constantly searching. And it's the same thing with these, like, the participant lists. Like, if you're stopping at the top 20, you're not going to know, and you're going to be shocked when you see a quote unquote no name, like, bust right into the top 30, and you're like, what the fuck? And then upset even further into the, like, in an open series. So, very interesting stuff. Like, you really just don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
But yeah, so that's the opener, and you know, that leads to the pro.
Yep.
The pro series one that happened on 6 Jan with the prize pool of $2,000 and of course the points that we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. The reigning champs from, you know, Raleigh Majors, the ones who seeded the top 8. We had Cloud9, we had FaZe, United Sentinels, Built by Gamers, Oxygen Esports, Pioneers, Space Station Gaming, and the bottom 8 who got through the open series. We had Team War, Gamers First, Optic, G2, XO Esports, Falling Esports, Unsigned Talent, Complexity. Built by Gamers and Oxygen Esports moved up, and Optic and G2 failed to retain the Pro Series or their participation in the Pro Series.
Yeah, that was a shock to me.
To everyone, so, if you look at Twitter, it was like, yeah, where's Optic Gaming, who was fighting neck and neck with Cloud9 just like a week or two ago?
Yeah, so Gamers First and Oxygen Esports come up from the open series, and they place 5th through 6th, which means Optic and G2 fail to move on to the next Pro Series, because the top 8 in this Pro Series auto qualify for the next Pro Series. Right. They don't have to slog it out through the open series.
I mean, that must feel so good to like qualify, and you know, like, okay, if we can just practice, right? We can just get time in. But like, to constantly, yeah, like, to make it or to fall short, and you're like, fuck. And especially for Optic, where all eyes were on Optic, yeah, literally leading up to the majors, right? And at the majors. So it's very interesting stuff. I mean, they got closed out by Sentinels.
Yeah.
Sentinel.
This is
2-0'd.
This is like, I don't know. I would definitely say this is a definite major upset, like, from for Oxygen and Gamers First.
You mean like you mean Optic?
Upset. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oxygen and Optic, kind of the same, but not the same. Hey, Oxygen made it farther, dude. They crushed Space Station, and then they got crushed by EU.
Yeah, like the fact that Optic failed to qualify for the next Pro Series, and then lost to teams who actually retained the Pro Series title, didn't even make like the open bracket for or the pool play for Raleigh. Like,
the pool play? God damn.
I gotta throw it in.
We gotta trademark that saying, dude. That shit messes me up.
But yeah, so I don't know. A definite failure from Optic to not be able to make the top 8,
yeah,
for this Pro Series, and they need to definitely...
It was an interesting...
Change something up.
It was an interesting Pro Series, for sure. And the end of it, so we had Cloud9 come in first place for $1,500 and 8,000 points. And then we had FaZe Clan come in with $500 and 6,000 points in second place. FaZe was stomping their way up. So very, very interesting to watch. I mean, they went up against Complexity and TO'd them. They TO'd you know, our homies pioneers who don't know we exist. They freaking 2-0'd E-United, who later on, you know, the following week, they're like huge contenders against Cloud9, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, very interesting to...
But then they got 3-0'd by Cloud9 twice.
Yeah. It's so weird, dude. It's so fucking weird.
Like, it feels like you have, like, four teams fighting for second and third place. But Cloud9 is just, like, untouchable. Like, yeah, whatever. Like, they 2-0'd... Yeah. Cloud9 2-0'd XO Esports, 2-0'd G2 Esports, 2-0'd Sentinels, 3-0'd FaZe Clan, and then 3-0'd FaZe Clan again. Like, what the fuck?
But, yeah, and so after FaZe, you know, we have third and fourth place. We have E-United and Sentinels. And United getting 5,000 points and Sentinels getting 4,000. In the fifth and sixth slots, we had Built by Gamers and Oxygen Esports with 3,000 points. Seventh and eighth, we had Pioneers and Spaciation Gaming, two really cool logos. And I'm sure they have cool jerseys that I just want to look at. 2,000 points, respectively. In ninth through 12th place, getting 1,400 points, we have Team War, who, you know, crushed the opener. And made it through the ninth through 12th or the ninth spot. We have Gamers First, Optic Gaming, G2 Esports, and then through the sixth or 13th through 16th place, 4,000 points, we have XO, Falling, Unsigned Talent, and Complexity Gaming. So really, if you look at the stats from the opener, very hard to call who was going to fall where, especially Team War. I was like, what? So, very interesting how, you know, little things carry over from series to series. But yeah, that was the Pro Series 1 again, Jan 6. And moving on from the Pro Series, a little funny thing happened. Magic Mushroom Clubhouse NFT $10,000 event. I did not know this existed, Alan. You definitely did, so please lead us into this bullshit.
So Magic Mushroom Clubhouse NFTs, some type of, I don't know if you call it an organization or company or some bullshit. Basically, they sell like 9,200 cute-looking mushrooms for crypto. They're NFTs. They sell NFTs. Fuck NFTs. Fuck NFTs trying to get into gaming.
Hey, dude, no. Ubisoft is listening, okay?
Magic Mushroom Clubhouse could go shove it for all I care.
I mean, who picked that name, man?
They sell cute looking mushrooms. I will say the artwork is cute, but I will just copy that, the copy paste the artwork and, you know, print out a fucking shirt of it and sell it for $20 like everyone else does with these NFTs.
I can't get past Magic Mushroom. It's like, okay, next.
Yeah. So they had a 10K event, which is an tournament for Halo teams to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weekly tournament. This one occurred on 8 Jan. They got, again, 10K prize money. I've seen it break down from first place gets 8K, and then second place gets 2K, and everyone else is screwed. And then also on their other flyers, I've seen first place gets 4K, second place gets 1K, and third place gets 500. And I don't know where the rest of the money goes to, but they keep calling it a 10K event. So I don't know. Like, their flyers are adding up to 10K, but whatever. anyways.
Sounds like a scam.
Yeah. So Built by Gamers, they actually won the tournament, and Kansas City Pioneers came in second.
Do you think it's worth it? Do you think it's worth it saying we won the Magic Mushroom Clubhouse NFT 10K event? Like, do you really think,
dude, if it means that they got 8K, it's definitely worth it. I would shout it across the rooftops.
You get tatted on your forehead.
Fuck yeah, for 8K? So it's 2K. I get 2K for playing one tournament as a player.
It's pretty sweet.
Unless my org, you know, takes money from me, but yeah. Dude, like, hell yeah, I'd play that.
Yeah, but like,
shit.
But what happened?
If I was...
What?
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I was going to say, like, but what happened after the event?
The
spicy drama that you so love.
Yeah, I was just about to talk about how Cloud9 should just milk every amateur tournament there is for the money.
Dude, that'd be so fucked up.
But they'd be so rich. Anyways, yes. The next morning, Druk, I hate player names sometimes. I think it's Druk. D-R-U-K, he's a Kansas City Pioneer Halo player. He released a 25-minute YouTube video, as well as some clips on Twitter, accusing Built by Gamers player Mines of cheating. And in these clips, you could see that Mines is pre-shooting, pre-firing corners before even turning around and killing off players, which, you know, whatever. Like,
I will say,
pre-firing, if you get the call-outs right, like, of course, sure.
Pre-firing has been in existence of FPS forever. I mean, just right. Go back to, Counter-Strike, so.
Yeah. There was one clip, though, like, towards the end of Game 5, where I think it was Game 5, he got in a fight, and as he was pulling away from a fight, because he was losing, his reticle started tracking another player that was behind, like, two different walls, so he couldn't see him without the accusation as he was using wall hacks, but his reticle was, I want to say it was kind of shady. His reticle was literally on that player and followed him as he was walking through some corridor. However, Druk had released these clips from the like theater mode or whatever mode it's called, where so they could rewatch their VODs.
Yeah.
And that is a laggy playback system.
It's not good.
The reticle could be in one spot and they're actually firing somewhere else. So while the clip looked very suspicious,
you can't.
It's not definitive proof that he's using wall hacks.
You can't rely on that alone. So,
right.
What comes out of this event is, this isn't the right way to do it. If you wholeheartedly believe that a player was cheating, right? There's got to be an official way to report this.
Right.
But as of now, 343 hasn't even stepped up to say anything, right? Like, there's not even
an announcement of investigation. Any type of announcement for investigation or anything.
I don't think 343 cares because it's not even their event.
So, yeah, I was going to say that. Like, I don't know if they truly care.
Yeah. Just because it has some, like, Halo, you know, esport teams involved, it's not their event. It's not their responsibility. Ultimately, Magic Mushroom, if they care about the integrity of their event, they would have a third party run an investigation on it. But
yeah, or from now on, make players stream. Once you get like into the quarterfinals, the every player has to stream so they can see clips.
Because there really are no referees, right? Like looking over their shoulder. Very interesting.
Not that I know of.
If he was cheating, he got away with it. There's nothing that can be done. I mean, really, what can you do?
I don't know. It just became a witch hunt on social media.
Yeah, like, and there's actually a lot of shit talking to Druk, and then to the, because Magic Mushroom released a statement on Twitter saying, like, you know, I think, like, not being neutral, like, believing the accusations, I think. So, but people were like, trash, you don't have any proof, like, you know, they're shitting on them. I made fun of them for their name. I was like, who fucking cares about Magic Mushroom, you know? But there was a lot, like you said yourself on Twitter, like it sets a very bad precedence if there's no proof to these allegations. It's very much cancel culture. We see enough of it on mainstream media. So
I don't know. And Mines came out saying, like, you know, I didn't cheat. You know, you're looking through a laggy playback system. I'm willing to be investigated by 343 or HCS. Like, and he was willing to comply if need be. Built by Gamers came out with a statement. I'll go ahead and read it. They said, we are aware of the accusations made against Mines. We have communicated with him and he maintains no cheating. We stand by our player. We welcome any official review from 343. We do not tolerate cheating at any time and will always take actions should we receive confirmation. Competitive integrity is vital to the growth of this sport. On the subject of competitive integrity, anyone can make an accusation at any time for any reason. We will not make judgments off of shoddy clips, social media mobs, or players reacting in the heat of a loss. This is not the way. It is disappointing to see unresearched accusations made directly via Twitter versus handling things through official channels. As esports grows, so should the professionalism of how cheating is handled. We look forward to working with publishers and partners to drive this process forward. Gamers strive for constant improvement in all facets of life.
Wow. Fucking evolution, dude.
They also said that they are conducting an investigation in another tweet. They've reached out to appropriate parties.
Huh. We'll probably never
know. I don't know if that means that they reached out to 343 to start an investigation.
Probably Magic Mushroom.
Or you're what? Yeah, like, what if...
Who are
the appropriate parties?
I still don't see how 343 is, you know, could be involved either way. So
it's not like...
Yeah.
Just because you got Halo... A Halo event going on does not make it 343's issue.
Right. So. I think the only time it could potentially outside of, you know, an official HCS event would be if a partner organization player is caught cheating or is accused of cheating. That may be the case. But, like, yeah, as far as, like, for Built by Gamers, they're not partnered. So why does it matter?
Yeah, I would say this throughout the whole, this should just be a learning lesson for, you know, events moving forward. Like if you want to ensure the integrity of your top, you know, I say top because I don't know how big these team pools are. So I don't know how, if you want, you know, 300 plus players streaming, but all on Twitch under the, you know, the Halo category, you should see all these fucking dudes with like two viewers.
but
at least in the top bracket, right? Quarterfinals, you know, moving to finals. If you want to ensure the integrity and to cover your ass, this is a CYA moment, Magic Mushroom shithouse. Have some sort of referee system in place, some streaming system or what have you to get it done. So that, you know, either these accusations can be proven or disproven because it leaves a sour taste in the community's mouth. Also, it probably pisses off Mines and BBG, and it probably also pisses off Druk and Pioneers.
Absolutely.
So there's going to be bad blood there now. But that's it for the Magic Mushroom Clubhouse bullshit event. NFT 10K. Okay, 10K is not bullshit. Okay, that's a pretty nice prize pool. If it was real and not a scam, but. Moving on from that, we have some minor changes announced to the Anaheim. The minor? So the minor in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Which occurs between the 11th and 13th of February. Apparently, there was a lot of rises in COVID cases amongst the player base, the teams themselves. So they're going fully distance the event. There's going to be no spectators at this, which is a shame because Raleigh was so fucking cool, especially if you're a spectator through Twitch or YouTube, to see a crowd again, because we haven't seen that in like League, we haven't seen that anywhere really.
Yeah,
so it was cool to see that, and honestly COVID sucks, but it's also kind of like the new norm in a sense, like it's cool.
It was wild on Twitter after Raleigh just seeing everyone like posting like, yeah, I pop positive. Just want everyone to know. And then like someone else would be like, yeah, I pop positive after Raleigh. Just want to let everyone know. And it's like the people who track COVID were probably having a field day over that. Like,
but I mean, it's like whatever, right? You weigh your pros and cons and you accept the risk, right? You're an adult. But that's my stance on it. But yeah, it sucks. No spectators. And we were on such a huge roll from the major. But of course, it's going to keep the event with qualifying spots for eight teams. The other eight spots will be taken from the major. Is that correct, Alan?
Yeah, so it'll be the top eight from Raleigh again. And then they're going to do some type of qualifier now, online qualifier, to get the the almost like an open bracket top eight teams. And then the top 16. So those two sets of eight will be 16, of course. Simple math, right? they will be flown out to Anaheim and they will compete in person as the top 16 teams.
Okay. And that's where, you know, all these points come into play from the opener and the Pro Series 1 and 2. So leading up to it, which we're rolling into now. The second Pro Series. Well, let's start with the stats here. So the opener for the second Pro Series, that was what, Jan 9th? Is that what happened?
Jan 9th. Okay. 9 Jan. Yep. And the team limit actually got bumped up to 512 from now on.
So it's like, what's going on? Like,
yeah, I think there was controversy. I don't know if you call it controversy, but you know, there was controversy over the team limits and like the open series style. Like initially it was going to be like a single limb event.
Yeah.
With 512 teams. And then 313 or HCS was like, well, okay, now it's going to be 256 double limb based off everything we've heard. And then now they're like, okay, everyone actually still wants 512, so we'll bump it up to 512. Because if you think about it, there were 512 teams on the last November, the second open series in November.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally just cut off like more than half of those teams that wanted to compete. So they brought it back up to 512.
Yeah. And I see there was discourse on Twitter about the confusion about not being able to solidify the format so late in the game.
Yep.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, so anything notable from the opener that happened on Jan 9th that you'd like to mention?
Yeah. Optic got saved. So they were supposed to play in this opener, slog it out with all 512 teams. However, Sentinels, one of their players, I believe it was Frosty, he couldn't make it. He couldn't compete in the Pro Series. Yeah, it was Frosty. He couldn't compete in the Pro Series, which means that they couldn't get another substitute because Formal is already their one substitute. So they had to bow out from the Pro Series that was going to happen on 13 Jan. Which meant the next team with the highest HCS points, of course, would be Optic, got pushed back up to the Pro Series. So they don't have to slog it out through the Open Series at all, which must be nice for them.
Yep, and what a shocker that was.
yep.
But anyway, so after the whole Optic replacement from the whole Sentinels thing with Frosty, we have the top eight from the opener. Actually, do you have the stats open? I don't.
What do you mean?
Like for the opener itself, I don't have.
Yes.
Because I have the Pro Series. I don't have the opener. So can you read off like who?
Yeah. So for the opener, the top eight teams were G2 Esports, Unsigned Talent, Business, which if you don't know is Team War, Astra, Gamers First, H5 Settings Please, Xset, and Status Quo. So they move on to the Pro Series on the 13th. So good on Xset and Status Quo. For making it. H5 Settings Please, Astra, those are just some the newer teams when it comes to, you know, actually out there and making a name for them.
Yeah, we talked about Astra in the last episode. Just kind of like, who are these guys? Because it appears we haven't seen them since one of the first openers. So.
Yeah. Yep. Some of the teams that didn't make the cut was XO Esports, they placed 9th through 12th, which they, you know, they had made it last time. Falling Esports, they placed 13th through 16th. And then same with Complexity, 13th through 16th. So far, if I was Complexity, I don't know if I would be happy with the roster that I picked up. Because they're not consistent, that's for sure.
I mean, it's kind of hard to even see consistency yet. I feel like there's something...
That's fair.
There's like, okay, the notables, but still, like, I feel like there's... like the dark horse, like there's teams cropping up out of nowhere every series, whether it's opener or pro. Very interesting. It's very hard to pick a favorite unless Cloud9, you know?
Yeah, unless it's the major orgs, yeah.
So that was the opener, and that rolls into the pro series, pro series 2 on January 13th. I actually have the stats open, so I don't sound like an idiot. Again, so that was January 13th. They were a best of three over the course. The finals being a best of five, as usual. And first place, I don't know if you'll be shocked to hear this, but it was Cloud9 once again with $1,500 and 8,000 points. Second place for $500 and 6,000 points was Optic Gaming. Again, coming up top from their upset earlier in the series. It's good to see them fight their way up. And then, you know, given a chance to compete due to Sentinels not... Like, they didn't waste that opportunity, is what I'm trying to say. And third place for 5,000 points was FaZe Clan, and fourth place being Xset. So I'll go over from 5th through 16th. We have Built by Gamers, we have E-United, we have Pioneers, Space Station Gaming, G2, Fnatic. We have unsigned talent coming in, which won't be the last time you see them. Gamers First, H5, we have Oxygen, we have Status Quo, and Astra. Pretty good event. Looking at the brackets, you know, very interesting to see who is making it. Xset took BBG out and went up against unsigned talent. Unsigned Talent took Oxygen Esports out. Wanted to see how far they would go, and Xset stopped them in the tracks. Wow, you have Cloud9 very early on pushing Optic back and then moving forward against Xset, 2-0-ing them. 3-1 for FaZe Clan and Cloud9. And Optic going through the lower bracket after the... This is a feat from Cloud9, pushing their way through Astra with a 2-0, Gamers First with a 2-0, Space Station a 2-0, E-United, they 2-0'd. They even 2-0'd Xset, and then they went 3-2 with FaZe. Rightfully so, FaZe was putting up, and you know, has been putting up a challenge the last series or two, but Optic getting pushed down, 2-0'ing everyone in the lower bracket. Essentially, until FaZe, and then they got 3-0'd by Cloud9. So, they showed they still got it, but it seems like no one's got it with Cloud9 for right now.
I mean, good on Optic for using the chance that they had to really show that, we've been scrimming, we've been practicing, we've stepped it up, like, we're not going to fail again, we're staying in the pro series. Interesting enough, Built by Gamers with Minds, they place 5th and 6th, you know, after being accused of cheating. Pretty interesting.
They did good. I mean, they 2-1 Oxygen. They 2-1 Fnatic. They 2-0 Pioneers, so that must have felt really good after the accusations. Because Pioneers, they 2-0 G2 in the lower, and came up against BBG, and then they got zeroed out. Of course, Xset came in, zeroed out BBG, but that's very... I kind of want to watch that game, see how much animosity is coming through the play style, you know? How aggressive is Minds right now against Dirk, but... Very interesting indeed.
Yeah.
Some good showings. I watched most of the pro. I don't really remember a lot. I remember watching Space Station and getting sad. I mean, I liked watching them against Azquil because I've been following Flamesword's stream when he does so. And they did good. They 2-0'd Zadis. They 2-0'd Unsigned. But once they got smashed by Optic in the lower bracket, that was sad. After them getting 2-0'd by Fnatic in the upper. So, you know, after... I was watching Space Station closely. I was watching Pioneers closely. And then obviously Cloud9. It's hard. It's like, who do I spend time, you know? But yeah. To be fair, a lot of the games are quick, so...
Oh yeah, they go by fast.
Yeah, it's super different than League of Legends.
Yeah.
Nothing, there's no 45-minute rounders, right?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, very good series. And and so after the series, or in between, I should say in between, because it was the 11th. So leading up to this Pro Series 2 on the 13th, Alan, could you please talk about what was announced by Face It?
Yeah, so if you all remember at Raleigh, there was a free-for-all tournament where you could earn cash and HCS prizes. Well, they're continuing that. Face It announced that there's going to be a free-for-all series and different regions. Of course, we only focus on NA in this podcast, so that's what we're going to focus on. It's going to be every Monday from 17 January through 28 March, and then it'll pick up again 23 May through 29 August. Now, there'll be 512 slots for NA players to duke it out in a free-for-all. Essentially, it's an 8-player free-for-all on Aquarius. The top four players move on, the bottom four are eliminated. And this will be great. Great, I think, for those semi-pros who keep getting screwed over and getting pushed around or like getting pushed off teams and stuff because they could pick up HCS points all by themselves, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a proving grounds. Could show, yeah, it's definitely a proving grounds. They could show, like, because previous pros have actually done the same where they've gone in through the free-for-all series and then they get picked up because they're so good. So they get to show off their skills.
Yeah.
So that'll be exciting to watch as well.
It's cool. They get a chance to, you know, it's literally in their hands with this event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And again, it's like, well, the point system is cool for like an esport, just to track progression and also to unlock, you know, opportunities.
Yeah.
I like it. I think that's, especially if you're following certain players, like you can track their progress through numbers, and hope for the best for them in the future. So really cool by Face It. Cooler than their brackets, because their brackets are always broken when I was so, when we're tracking like tournaments and stuff, you know, like it doesn't show like the anyway. Yeah, whatever, it's Face It's cool. It's whatever. But yeah, that's all that's happened, or at least we were able to track from the 2nd of Jan to the 13th, encompassing the Open Series and the Pro Series, and roster changes and another cheating scandal. Would you fucking believe it, right?
Yeah. And hopefully it doesn't happen every freaking week.
Yeah. BBG, like, pretty much set the standard of like how to respond to or how we should be responding to accusations.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the next week, Penguins are cheating. It's like, God dang it. or freaking Renegade. Or Stellar. Yeah. No, actually, I think Stellar would be the one who's smashing so many bodies each game. Like 14 plus KDA. Like, or not KDA, but like at least a minimum of like 14 kills off a game. Imagine it's just Renegade cheating, dude. But and then BBG's just sitting there like, really? I thought we were growing from this.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's everything. Again, all this information will be linked in the show notes for you to follow for yourselves. We'd like to thank Forerunner GG for the information. They didn't really give it to us. We're just using their website. Also Liquidpedia, was a .net for the stats. Very helpful in doing this.
So, absolutely.
Again, don't copyright us. Don't sue us. Open source, brother. But yeah, all those things will be accessible in the show notes. Yeah, that's really all I got, Alan. Is there anything before I do the whole, you know, outro, like close this episode out?
No, I think we covered everything that was needed. I hope everyone enjoyed. Leave a comment somewhere, please. Let us know if we could be better or how amazing we are. That'd be nice too.
Yeah. We have a website off of Podpage. That's going to be linked in the show notes as well. That website allows you to view or listen to our episodes, view our blogs, and leave a review either through Apple or on the website itself, because there's a review section. You can definitely do that there. You can also send us voice messages. It's like Anchor almost. It's got like a voicemail system. If you want to send us a message personally, and we'll include it in the next episode. But yeah, we're looking for feedback. We're a new show, trying to do what's best for all the new spectators out there who are joining HCS fandom. And please, if you do enjoy the show, we are on Twitter. Again, that link's going, you can find that link in the show notes, but you can also find it on our website that has everything. Please shout us out on Twitter. Let us know you've been listening. Let us know what we could be doing better or have done really well. Give us a follow if you're out there, you know, burning your eyes on Twitter. Also tell your friends if you've enjoyed the show, because we do grow through word of mouth more than anything. Truly appreciate your help in that endeavor. And that's all I got, man. So we'll see you in the next episode. We're excited to be back. Peace.
See you.